meditation. For 2 weeks now, I've been asking you to read the book of Nehemiah, especially chapter 4. First week, I just asked you to read and pray. Last week, I asked you to read it metaphorically, in which you would take the names like Sanballat and Tobiah and picture them as demon forces. Those working on the walls of Jerusalem are the Christian church doing the work of God in their area, and Nehemiah being the leader of that work. Well, this, I want to give you something a little more specific this week, and I'm going to ask you for a commitment of prayer. Nehemiah chapter 4, I'm going to read just three verses for you, four verses actually, starting at verse 6. What had happened here, real quickly, is that Nehemiah found that the walls, or he heard that the walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed. He was in captivity, and he asked the king who held him captive if he could go back. Can I build the walls of Jerusalem? And because he was so sad and so sincere, the king said yes, provided everything he needed. And he got there and he began to rebuild the city, the walls that had been pulled down and burned and destroyed. And wouldn't you know that as he began to do that, the local residents, the local rulers, now we're talking the metaphor back and forth, the local spirits didn't like that. Now, here's the thing. When you go to do something for God, I don't care if you're in leadership, I don't care if you're leading a ministry, if you're just plain leading your family as a Christian, the local spirits, the spirits of the area, don't want you to succeed. Does that make sense? Well, that's what's happening here. I might not get to my sermon. I just might exhort here. Hallelujah. I'm not sure what that meant. I just need someone clapping either for the exhortation or because they feel it will be shorter than the preaching. You never know. You never know. But what had happened here is Nehemiah, in spite of, I just feel like a preach coming on. And Nehemiah, in spite of opposition, in spite of what was popular, in spite of what the law actually said, we are going to build, I am going to build with the help of these people, the walls of Jerusalem. Now, if you're an avid reader or even a so-so reader, read the book of Nehemiah along with the book of Ezra. These are parallel books. It's happening at the same time. Nehemiah and his crew are building the wall. Ezra and his crew are restoring the temple. Okay? Now Nehemiah says, I'm going to do this thing. And chapter 4, we find that the beginning, that Sanballat, you only hear the one demon so far, Sanballat came against them and began to mock them. The devil will mock you. Turn to your neighbor and warn them. The devil will mock you. When you try to do something for God, the devil will stand in your face. He'll make fun of you. He'll tell you you're too weak. What you're doing won't last, because that's what happened here with Nehemiah. Sanballat didn't like the idea. Didn't like the idea. There goes the sermon. Sanballat didn't like the idea. Hallelujah. I wish I'd known this last night instead of spending all the time writing that sermon. The devil of the area didn't like the idea that God's people, that God was going to have a presence. Hallelujah. This better be good, Lord, because I got a note one. Praise God. The devil does not want a godly presence in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. The devil does not want a godly presence in Wallenpolpack High School. The devil does not want a godly presence in wherever it is you work, live, or play. The devil does not want a godly presence at your dinner table. The devil does not want a godly presence while you're all sitting around watching TV or junior misses in their room watching something that you don't know about on the computer. The devil does not want a godly presence. I'm going to tell you right now, you can come to any church, except maybe this one, but you can go to any church and play any religious game, and usually the devil will pretty much leave you alone. I heard this taught a long time ago, that you can know the word, the devil will get upset. You can recite the word, the devil won't like it. You can even preach the word, the devil won't care for you. But if you begin to live the word, the devil will declare war against you. If you're wondering what's happening today in the area you live in, we are at war. I will call them what they are. It is what it is. It's not I'm going to get into politics. I'm sorry. We got people in Washington don't want to call this a war. We are in a spiritual war. And in a war, there are casualties. And if you're not careful, you may be one of them. Your children can be a casualty. Your husband and or wife could be a casualty. Your job could be a casualty. Your home, your finances are all things that you could lose in the war if and only if we let the devil have his way. Now, when you read Nehemiah chapter 4, there's something in here. I read this for years. God gave me this book and this chapter in particular many years ago. There's always something that bothered me, Brother Bob. But the more I read it, the more I understand about warfare. Nehemiah 4 and 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, when the devil heard that we builded the wall, they weren't done yet. They just started the work. The devil wants to get you in the beginning stages. Hallelujah. That we builded the wall. He, the devil, Sanballat, was wroth. That's a lovely old term. He was ticked off. He was angry. And took great indignation, he took it personal, and he mocked the Jews. And spake King James, before his brethren and the army of Samaria. See, he not only mocked the Jews, he went and told his devil cohorts. He went and told the demon forces, these Jews, they're not going to do this. And said, what do these feeble Jews? You've got to hear this in the spirit. I've heard this in the spirit for the almost 20 years I've lived in this area. There is a devil in this area. There is a demonic presence in this area that laughs and mocks and ridicules anything that comes in here and dares to live the Christian life. Hallelujah. Maybe you came from this area. You don't know it or not. You've been fighting that thing since you came here, since you were born. You know, sometimes you don't know what's in the area until you leave the area. Did you ever notice? Yeah, y'all got to think about this. Did you ever notice when you go for a ride or a short vacation, you get out of town for a while, something changes? It's not just the pressures of work. It's not just, you're under a different set of demons. If you go from here to Williamsport, there's a different demon out there. But the thing was out there, that's not my problem. That's the preacher's out there's problem. Amen? The only one I got to worry about at this point is the one in Honesdale. Glory unto God. So when you get a chance to go someplace, I can go to Dixon City and feel differently than what I feel here. Hallelujah. You know why? Sanballat lives here. Hey, anyway, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? He's making fun of them. What do those Christians think they're doing? Trying to build a church in the midst of my place? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they get it all done quickly? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Most of what Sanballat is saying here actually did happen, except he didn't finish it in a day. Yes, they did take the stones out of the heap. Yes, they did make sacrifice. Yes, they did these things. And the devil looks at you and says, you think you're going to get together, Dave Tyler, and you're going to play songs and people are going to worship? Do you really believe that you're going to pray for the sick there in that little building and people are going to get healed? Do you really believe that you're going to rise up something out of the ashes that the devil has destroyed in Honesdale and make something godly? Yeah, pretty much. Hallelujah. He was mocking and goes on and says, now Tobiah, now we got another demon. Devil don't work alone. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, when one devil runs out, there's another one alongside of him sometimes that's going to come right along with him. And said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down the stone wall. You understand that metaphor there? He said, if a fox, you're going to build a stone wall. He said, if a fox runs across the top, it'll fall over. The devil says, no matter what you build for God, ain't going to last. It's going to fall apart anyway, so why bother? Mocking, mocking, mocking. Now, Tobiah read that. This is what used to stumble me. But I begin to realize over the last few years that this is a strategy for the enemy. Now, please understand, we've been taught, you can't say anything bad about people. You can't pray bad things. Please read this prayer, starting in verse 4. This is God's people praying against the ungodly people. Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn their reproach upon their own head. and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Verse 5, cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Now, I got to tell you something. Nehemiah is not praying some little lay-me-down-to-sleep prayer. He's not praying, oh, God, bless them. Bless their coming in. Bless their going. Bless, 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 bless. Yeah. Nehemiah says, Lord, I've had enough of this. They're coming against you and your work. I don't want you to even forgive their sins. Hallelujah. I stumbled over those two verses for a long time, Brother Bob. How can you pray that stuff for someone? Nehemiah did. Not because he didn't like being personally attacked, but because they were coming against the work of God. Hallelujah. Sambayat, Tabala, and a few others in another couple of verses were dead set that this was not going to happen. Guess what? Yes, it happened. And God's people were led to pray prayers of warfare. There is something about saying, oh, God, bless this. And there's nothing wrong with that. There really isn't. But there comes a time when that spirit of John the Baptist has got to get on us. And he says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm not talking about being rebellious. I'm talking about standing against the devil, toe to toe, and say, you know what? You can't have my children. You can't have my husband. You can't have my wife. You can't have my job. No, you're not going to take my home away. Sometimes you got to stand up. They were praying against demons and devils there, the way I'm telling it. God, I don't want the devil blessed. I don't want the work of the devil blessed. I want him destroyed so you can be glorified in my hometown. Hallelujah to God. Maybe it's time, Brother Dave. Maybe it's time, Jeff. But maybe it's time. I don't know, but I'm feeling this is a time to engage in warfare. I think it's time for us to quit playing around with the devil and say, you know what? We're trying to do a work for God here. I'm sick and tired of the devil stopping us. I'm pressing forward. So I got a little late breaking news for you. If we don't press against the enemy, he will win. You don't know how close this church has been in the last 2 years to just going out of existence. The pressure. I'm making a plea, not just for myself. I'm making a plea for anybody in here who's willing to live for God. The pressure to give up and say, forget it, is overwhelming most of the time. Hallelujah. I'm not crying in my beer. I'm not complaining. I'm simply saying we're exhausted. Doing a work for God. Ask anybody in this church, or any other church, but ask anybody in this church who has stepped forward in the last 12 to 18 months to do anything for God. Ask them how it's going. I'm serious. I'm watching families being destroyed. I'm watching kids rise up against parents. I'm watching finances dry up. You can blame the economy if you want, but I'm here to tell you, I think there's someone else to blame. Now, let me tell you how the devil likes to lie to us, okay? And I know this because I've heard this lie many, many times. The devil will come along and say, well, you know, if you'll give up, I'll give up. See, I got to tell you how I know that. I had that conversation one-on-one with a spirit many, many, many years ago. And that spirit spoke to me. I knew who it was. It identified itself and said, if you give up, I'll give up. I've been close. The last time I had that conversation, my dear wife was in a hospital dying from something and no one knew what it was. Just before we moved here, it was in Port Jervis, New York. And I remember her laying in the hospital. The doctors already told me that she's probably never going to come home again. And you got to understand something. I had already left one wife in a hospital 40-some-odd years ago who never came home. You don't know what it's like to have someone remind you, this one's not coming home either. And I remember driving up, have you ever been in Port Jervis? Driving up that hill up from behind the hospital, and I was in tears. I'd said goodbye. I told God, I don't know if you even remember this, you were out of it. I knelt down in the middle of that hospital and said, God, do what you want, but you're going to have to tell me about this. You're going to have to talk to me. And I remember coming up out of that driveway, and I remember saying to myself, I was talking to the devil. I said, I'm almost ready to cut a deal. I couldn't take it. But suddenly, As I uttered those words, something happened. I sat bolt upright in the seat of my car, and I felt like something stuck a steel rod right down the middle of my spine. And all of a sudden, I had a resolve. It's called faith. The next day, you see, you got to make a stand, because the next day, the phone rang at my work, and it was the hospital, and I didn't know if I wanted to take the call. What they told me the night before, this was not a good call. They called me and said, "Mr. Orlando, come get your wife. She's just fine." Hallelujah. God had healed her during the night. Now, I don't know what would have happened if I had made the deal with the devil. I don't know. I'm afraid to think about it, Brother Bob. But one thing I'll tell you what, my life would not have been any better. The devil will say, "I'll give up if you give up." It's a lie. He will not give up until you are totally destroyed. Verse number 6, this shows resolve. Hallelujah. This is resolve. All the devils, the Sambal and Tobiah and the armies, they're making fun of everything they do. We have a little two sentence prayer. And what happens in verse 6 is, so we built the wall. I like that little statement. The devil's coming against you. Everything is falling apart. He's making fun. He says, well, nothing left to do except keep working for God. Amen? But there's something really important in here. And all the wall was joined unto the half thereof. They got half the wall done. But here's the reason. For the people had a mind to work. Now, let me just say something here. When you've got your heart set on doing a work for God, it will get done. Amen? I don't believe these people, I know, because I read the whole book. These people weren't whipped into shape. They weren't tricked into this. They had it in their mind. They had it in their spirit. We're doing something worth doing here. I think one of the problems we have in the church, one of the problems we have anywhere, is unless we're convinced we've got something worth doing, unless we're convinced we're going to make a difference, unless we're convinced that the devil's going to lose and we're going to win, we're not going to get the job done. I might not have the resources. I might not have the strength. I might not have but one thing I've got to have is the want. I've got to want to do it. I've got to have the mind to defeat the devil. I've got to have it in my mind to see God as Lord of this valley. I've got to have the mind to see young people come to the Lord. I've got to have the mind to see young married people counseled in the ways of God. Got to have the mind to see people fed. Got to have the mind to see the missionaries taken care of. Got to have the mind to see worship in our church. Got to have the mind to do it. Hallelujah. Based on that one thing alone, they got half the job done. But guess what? Devil didn't give up. See, some of us, if we gave someone a hard time and they kept going, we leave them alone. No. Look at verse 7 with me. See, we started out with Sambalat. Then he got Tobiah next to him. Well, now in verse 7, we got a whole horde of devils here. Now, I understand, before anybody takes me to task, I understand that Sambalat and Tobiah were historical figures. I get that. I'm preaching a metaphorical sermon here, okay? Amen. So it came to pass, they're building, they're working, they're doing the work, they're half done. Verse 7, it came to pass that when Sambalat, devil number 1, and Tobiah, devil number 2, now look, and the Arabians, plural, the Ammonites, plural, the Ashdodites, plural. Now, I don't know, don't want to know, have any reason to care to know how many demons there really are. But what I'm seeing here is a couple of heavy-duty devils and a whole bunch of demon armies working with them. So however there were in the Amorites and the Ashdodites, and there was a whole bunch of devils that were coming against the work. They heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches. Now, here's an important thing. I just seen this the other day. The breaches began to be stopped. Job's not done yet. But when the devil sees you succeeding, when the devil sees there's 20 kids in here on a Friday night that aren't drugging and drinking and having illicit sex on that Friday night, they're coming here because there's something glorious here. It's beginning to work. Hallelujah. The devil just hates beginnings because he knows if we keep it up, it'll come to an end someday. the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. They got angry. They got angry. A couple demons got angry when they started the work. Now the work is starting to be successful. Guess what? Now they're starting to gang up on them. Are you out there? I don't know if you can see what I'm seeing. I don't know if I can paint this the picture right. The work of God. Let's call it Abundant Life Fellowship. Let's call it the church, whatever the name you want to call it, brand name, in Honesdale. It's not complete. It's far from it. But we're beginning to move forward. We're beginning to see a difference. We're beginning to see kids brought in. We're beginning to see lives changed. Hallelujah. The devil don't like it. So the devil that came against us 10 years ago, or came against you guys 18 years ago when you started this work, came against me 11 years ago with some friends when I came in here. Now he's got all kinds of friends working with him. You got to see this thing numerically. It's not just one-on-one anymore. It's not just us against a couple of them anymore. Now he's calling upon the hordes. I'm not preaching just because it's good preaching. This is what's happening to us. This is what's happening today. Glory to God. Verse number 8. Not only were they mad, they did something. They conspired, all of them. Now I got to tell you something real quick here. It's one thing to have to stand against something evil. But when all the evil that you could ever imagine is regurgitated upon you. Did I paint a good enough picture there? You know what? All the evil you can imagine in Homestead and surrounding areas gets puked up on top of you and your family and your church. It's a nasty thing. That is what happened here in Nehemiah, and I truly believe that's what's happening here today in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. Hallelujah. They conspired all of them together to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Notice the wording here. I happen to be a firm believer that the Holy Spirit wrote this book. I understand it came from the hands of Nehemiah, but it did not come from the heart, or I should say the mind of Nehemiah. All scripture is given by God, and is good for exhortation and so on and so forth. I believe the Holy Spirit chose this word to attempt to try to. You notice he didn't say he was going to, because the devil can't stop God's people. Oh, see, y'all didn't get that. Y'all didn't get that. Hallelujah. The devil knows he can't stop you. But if he can discourage you long enough, the work simply gets postponed and you won't do it. I couldn't preach this 20 years ago. You know why? I was 20 years younger. I woke up recently to realize I ain't going to be around too much longer. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not looking to go any place. I'm not looking to die. But do the math. You know, after a while, when I was... I told my boss recently, you got to understand, when I was 28, 29, 30, I was bulletproof. Now I have trouble getting out of bed in the morning. Hallelujah. What I'm saying, I've been saved 30 plus years. Chances are, do the math, I don't have another 30 to go. I'm serious. I hope, oh God, I pray, that long before that 30-year mark, I'm home in heaven. Looking down on all you that's left doing the work at home, and saying, go get them. Now, you say that won't happen. That's not what the book of Hebrews tells me. So know you not, you were surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, all those who went before us. I'm running the race right now, sister. I'm looking to become a spectator pretty soon. And I don't know how it works. I've been in some large arenas. I don't know if that's what it looks like. Not before you. Hallelujah. I had a friend, very dear friend, who many years ago met with a tragic accident and died. And I was involved with the preparations and all that. And at one point, Brother Dave, the guy's got a sense of humor. And so did my friend who went before me. At one point, when I got, I'm this way, when something bad happens, I just keep moving. And then suddenly it hits me. Well, I was riding in my car, and all of a sudden it hit me, and I started to weep and cry, mourning the loss of my friend. And in that moment, I had a bit of a vision. And in that vision, I saw the heavens parted, and there stood my friend, all dressed in white, and he was laughing. And he looked at me and said, George, I made it before you did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil tried to hinder. He planned to hinder the work of God. Verse number 9. This has got to be a stand that this church and every church that names the name of Jesus has got to make. Nevertheless, I don't know about y'all, but I could stand here. I could fool with this word for about another 10 minutes. Nevertheless. See, that's another way of saying, don't make no difference. Well, the devil's coming at me. Don't make no difference. Do you understand that even if you give up what you're doing, the devil's still coming after you? Hallelujah. Just because he backs off of me, he says, whoo, that's better. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Hallelujah. He said, nevertheless, this is the leader. This is the leader of the Jews, the leader of the church of Jerusalem at that time. I hope it's the leader of Holmesdale's churches. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God. Notice they didn't call Missouri. They didn't call the Senate. They didn't call St. Louis, the synod. I guess I said synod before. The synod of St. Louis. They didn't call Rome. They didn't call upon their denominational headquarters. One of the things I like about being non-denominational, I've only got one pope. He ain't in Rome. He's a lot further away physically. We get ours from God. I'm not knocking other people. I'm simply saying these folks here, they turned directly to the only one who could ensure victory. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope someone's getting this. I'm enjoying it, but I don't know if you're getting it. And set a watch against them day and night. Because, and before we leave here today, I'm going to ask people to begin to pray one in the morning, one in the evening. I'm going to ask this whole next week that we pray against the stuff I'm preaching here today. Not my message, but the truth I'm preaching through it. Hallelujah. I don't know. I know I don't always think like everyone else. As a leader, I guess I'm supposed to think a little different. But I see things in the light of warfare. I see things in the light of, I've never been in the army, but I'm fascinated by it. Matter of fact, I went out the other day and bought a whole series on the Civil War. I'm just fascinated by strategies and battles, and I don't know much about it, but I'm fascinated. This was the strategy that Nehemiah came up with. The work's only half done. The devil, Sanballat, Tobiah, and all of their armies are now mocking them. So what does he do? Praise day and night. And said, we set a watch. They were praying against what the enemy was doing. Let's see. How far do I want to go here, Lord? Glory, 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 glory. And Judah said, now I want to say something here. Now, this is fresh territory for me. I've preached that other stuff before. This is fresh. I want to say something to those of you who are probably like myself and my wife, just totally exhausted. Totally. I can't hardly find enough strength to walk an extra mile if I have to, okay? But listen to this. Judah, this is part of the Jews. This is the people doing the work. Judah said, the strength of the bearer of burdens is decayed. I want you to think about that. That was a planned pause. The strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed. Can I say something here? If you're working for Jesus, I'm not saying nobody isn't, but if you're working for Jesus, there will come a time, if you're not there yet, where you're going to get tired. And it's not a matter of just simply saying, I need a two-week vacation. If a two-week vacation would fix me, I'd be gone. I'll be back in 2 weeks. But I'm going to tell you, I've been in this spot before, and I'll tell you right now, I've learned the hard way that a two-week vacation won't cure my problem. Because my strength, brother, is worn thin. It's decayed. Now, that doesn't mean I or whoever feels that way is not spiritual. It doesn't mean they're not close to God. It simply means we've been working hard and we're tired. Now, anybody, I got to say this. I know there's a small group here today. Part of the reason is because of what we're reading here, the battle. Anybody who spends their life really living for Jesus, really working for Jesus, and said, I never get tired, I either want what you got or I want to get a long ways away from you. I'm not sure which it is. Okay? Because you're either got something I've never found yet or you're lying. There's something about, y'all know what it's like. Let me stop this rant for a minute. Y'all know what it's like to do a hard day's work, right? Most of us do. And you know how at the end of the day you're tired and you just go, oh, you know, but a hot shower and a meal and a night's rest. Next day, you're ready to go again. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about tired on top of tired. You get so tired that you're tired as tired. It's just so exhausted. It becomes bone-weary tired after a while. And with that kind of tired comes thoughts. I'm going to read to you some of the thoughts here in a moment. But the thoughts are, is this really worth it? It's easy to say that, but I'm going to tell you something. When you're in the midst of it, that's the right answer. But when you're in the midst of it, we all say, yeah, and I do too. That's why I'm still here. Yeah, it's worth it. But where do I find the strength, Lord? You keep reaching out to God, and you get one more day and one more day. And you know, that's why I believe Jesus said, take it a day at a time. Hallelujah. I think most of us would just like to have some kind of little gospel pill that we could take. Ah, I'm feeling good, Lord. Well, you know, there's a little more to it than that. And I know when I say keep working, it's just, oh, well, I'm working too much already. But sometimes we got to work to enter into rest. I've preached that before, and I won't do it today. But here's what happened here. And there is much rubbish. Pause. People are tired, and there's a whole bunch of garbage to deal with. Hallelujah. Now, I love church. I've been doing this for a long time, and I hope and pray to God that I'll still be preaching when you're going to have to be careful because my mouth will still be running when they throw the first shovel of dirt in my grave. I love preaching. I love doing the work of the gospel. I love people. I like seeing people get ahead and get over on the devil. But sometimes when you get tired, it's like a big pile of garbage in front of you. I don't know where to start. It stinks, and I'm not so sure I want to get my hands dirty today. Am I making sense about insulting you? I'm really trying to paint a picture of what it's like to get as tired as these folks here in Nehemiah and as tired as some of the folks here in Honesdale. Oh, hallelujah to God. Help me, Jesus. Glory unto God. So that we are not able to build the wall. They got half the job done. Hallelujah. They're praying the way through. But someone stood up, Judah stood up, and said, you know what? We're still tired. Big job ahead of us. We can't get it done. Can I tell you something about truth? You heard me say last week, Brother Bill Norton says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you mad. But the way Jesus said, you know the truth, and truth will set you free. Part of being set free is identifying the problem. Can I bring my day job in here for a second? Part of what I deal with in counseling and helping people is helping them to identify the real problem. I got to tell you, very few people that I deal with enjoy that part of the process. I don't enjoy the process looking at myself and saying, okay, what's the real problem here? Okay? Judah, God love him. Who was it that came from the tribe of Judah? Some lion? Anyway. Judah said, the strength of the burden bearers are decayed. There's a whole bunch of work to do, and that work's not getting done. I'm not asking you to do anything more today. I'm trying to preach into what God wants to do for healing. Verse 11. And our adversary said, now, you got to understand something about the devil. This is better than having notes. There's something about the devil. The devil can only harm. So the devil don't mess with me, but there are other things of temper and so on, and y'all got your own list, so don't write down mine. Hallelujah. You see what happens when you're preaching? No one takes notes until you say something about yourself. I know you're doing that so you can pray for me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Verse 11, and our adversaries, the devil, the devil said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. The devil does not want to harm you. The devil wants to kill you. Can I say that again, or do I need to? The devil doesn't want to harm you, Brother Bob. He doesn't want to harm you. He wants to kill you. He wants to put an end to your life. And if he doesn't kill you physically, he wants to kill you spiritually. So you don't reproduce. So you don't do anything. He wants to castrate you. There's a word for you. All you kids don't know what that is. Talk to mom and dad this afternoon. Hallelujah. The devil wants to stop the church from reproducing. Cause the work to cease. Verse 12. It came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times. You got to give the devil credit for something. He doesn't give up. Verse 12, we got these people who have heard the complaints, they have heard the accusations of the enemy 10 times. The devil came once, wasn't good enough. Came twice, wasn't good enough. Came 3 times, kept on coming. I'm going to tell you something from my past. I took a few boxing lessons. I used to fool around. That's when I was young and stupid, mostly stupid. Brother, you used to be in wrestling. What I learned, I had this one coach. He was actually my sparring partner. What that meant, I was his punching bag, actually. But what I learned about this guy, because he was young and fast. Woo, he was fast. But, you know, I could throw one punch at him, I couldn't hit him. I throw 2 or 3, couldn't hit him. If I threw a 5-punch flurry, number 5 got through every time. So even though I had to throw 5 more punches than he did, I got him. Because I figured it out. If I didn't quit too early, I'd take him down. The devil knows that. He won't give up on the first try, the second lie, the third curse, the 4th time of coming against your family. He'll keep on coming until he finds some victory. Till he destroys. Hallelujah. From all places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Every area of your life. I hope I'm getting this right, Lord. Every area, not just one little thing. Hallelujah. Because just as soon as you get one thing under the blood, you'll find something else. Every aspect of our life is open to attacks of the devil. Don't ever think, I said before, he don't attack me in certain areas, but I got those areas well guarded. Hallelujah. I'm not stupid. Now, if you're one of these people, please, I don't want to insult anybody, and you've got one of these ministries, or you feel you have a ministry from God to go into bar rooms and talk to people about Jesus, God bless you. But here's one thing I learned a long time ago. I preached it to me a long time ago, Brother Jesse, if you don't want to slip and fall, you shouldn't walk where it's slippery. I know my weaknesses. I don't go to bar rooms. I don't hang around with dope smokers, and I don't go to beaches, and y'all can figure out what that's all about. Hallelujah. I'm not preaching against those things. I'm telling you, I need to guard these areas for all places. Once you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Don't ever let your guard down in any area of your life. I got to keep going here. Exhortation is getting longer than preaching. Verse 13. This was the answer to the problem. Please listen. There is an answer to the problem. Verse 13. Therefore, preacher told me a long time ago, when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. When you see a therefore or a wherefore, stop and look real close. Something really good's coming. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. I find it interesting this time that he specifically says with their families. So I got to tell you something, if you don't know it already, your families are the target of the enemy right now. If you're doing anything from God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your family. All of my kids are grown and left the house, and the devil is attacking my family. Some of you still have your children at home, and you're seeing the devil attack your family. Your home, the relationships within the home are under attack. Children rising against parents. Parents rising against children. That's not just for the last day. They're for the days we live in right now. Hallelujah. And I'm sorry to tell you. No, I'm not sorry. I'm going to tell you anyway. The government is not your friend in this case. Y'all hear that? That's called silence. Hallelujah. Someday I could get arrested for saying that. Oh, well. Then I'll have a prison ministry, won't I? Hallelujah. Therefore, said I, in the lower places behind the wall, leadership, got in behind the wall. Amen? And on the higher places, I set the people with their families. But here was the thing, is that I set them with their weapons in their hands. Now, you may not be a leader. You may not be working in ministry yet or at the moment. But if you are a father, if you are a mother, if you have any family whatsoever, you are a leader. He said, I set the families with their weapons in their hands. I want to talk to you, parents, just for a second. You need to have your weapons in your hands. Your children, the devil wants them. The world around us wants them. Secular humanism wants them. Materialism wants them. And if we don't have the sword of the Spirit, if we're not carrying the weapons of God, brother just waved a Bible at me. Amen. This is, forget Mr. Spock, forget Dr. Whoever. Pick up some thus saith the Lord. This is how you raise a child. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I work in the system all the, and I hear some of the silliness that passes as science. My God, don't get me on that subject. Not today anyway. Verse 14. And I look and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people. Now here's the thing about that. For too long in this church, and I'll take the blame for this. We as leaders have stood back and said, we're going to do all this. Brother Dave and his family, the Albies and their family, us, Charlie and his family, we still said, we'll do it all. We have gotten so weak, so tired. We're not sure what to do next. But when God spoke through the leader, he didn't speak just to the elders. He didn't speak just to the rulers. He spoke to everybody. See, what the strategy I believe that we're going to look at in just a second here is a strategy for everybody who names the name of Jesus. Not just for ministers. Not just for the ordained clergy. Whatever that's supposed to mean. Hallelujah. Verse 14, and I looked, got to be watching. Did you ever see the Army SEALs or the Navy SEALs? You know, I'm watching that you over there. Yeah. Watching. Y'all got to be on the watch. You got to be looking for the enemy. You got to be looking for his tricks. And I rose up. Just can't sit still sometimes. I had a man tell me a long time ago. I was walking through a prison with him, actually. He was a chaplain. And he was just a book. I haven't walked that fast since I was in Bulgaria. Amen. Europeans walk a lot faster than we do. Eastern Europeans, anyway. But I said, man, you're in a hurry. He says, you just can't hit a moving target. And I've adopted it as my own. People, they see me going through the halls of school. Where are you going, George? I'm busy. Can't hit a moving target. I just keep moving. We got to be able to move. If the devil can get us to sit still, he's got us. Hallelujah. And said, got to be able to speak. You got to look. You got to move. And you got to talk. Strategy here. To everybody, the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Stop, hold it right there. The last thing we need in the church is to be afraid of the devil. Now you say, I'm not afraid of the devil. I speak to parents all the time who are afraid of losing their children if they're too strict. They're afraid little Johnny, little Jenny won't love me if they don't buy them the latest Xbox. See, y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I'm telling you, this is what we're surrounded with. And you know what? It sits in the church too. It sits in the church. Hallelujah. It's amazing how many mamas, I'm going to pick on you for a second, but how many mamas fall into that? Some guys too, but mamas in particular. They're afraid if they say too much, they won't get loved. That's a lie from hell. Well, if I say what's right, then they won't love me. No, but they will respect you. Someone has got to tell your children truth. They're not going to get it on YouTube. They're not going to get it on I Am or whatever that one I just heard the other day. I'm not sure what that thing is all about. It's a new social networking. They're not going to get this kind of exhortation watching VHR or any of those whatever they are. I click through them so fast I can't remember what they are. They are just so offensive to me. Hallelujah. You say, well, you're old. Maybe so. But I got this old by doing what was right. That's why I'm not dead from a drug overdose or a jealous husband. Is anyone out there? I was going to preach on obedience. Maybe I'll have to revive that. Maybe the second half we'll have to go. Never mind. Just got someone worried out there, Lord. Be not afraid of them. Semicolon. Remember the Lord.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done.
Listen, God has gotten you from where you were to where you are. Now, I don't know about y'all, but for me, that's a long trip. I'm gonna do some preacher talk right now. I'm not what I want to be, brother, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. You got to understand, maybe here's the problem, Brother Jeff. I think I got it figured out. I'm talking to a bunch of people who were born perfect and never had a bad life. I can tell by your giggling that that's not true. Amen? Sometimes you need to take a moment and remember where you come from. Every once in a while, I'll be out riding. I have to do a mobile thing. I travel between schools. And every once in a while, not too often, but every once in a while, we need to remember where we come from. We need to remember the games we had to play. Brother Dave, there's not too many here that would remember this. Remember Joe South? Oh, the games people play now. Oh, come on. You have to be of the Woodstock generation to appreciate all that. Hallelujah. I ain't going to say anything, Brother Bob. You see, some of us are the Woodstock generation. Others were around when the field was created to make Woodstock. Hallelujah. Woo! Lord, I repent, so forgive me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. The word there is majestic. It's not so much as simply saying, oh, yeah, I remember the Lord. No, you got to understand. Please, 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 if you're going to enter into this battle, you had no choice, you're already in it. But if you're going to fight the battle, you got to remember the one who's fighting the battle for you. This was the one who looked at the world when it was all without form and void. The water and the land were mixed up and said, separate, and they did. This is the one when Moses cried out and said, Egyptians are climbing down my back pocket. And he says, just step aside and watch what I'm going to do. And parted the Red Sea. Hallelujah. This is the one who spoke his words into solid stone. He said, go down and tell my people this is how you're going to live. This is God. This is God who sent his angel. God didn't even have to show up. He sent his angel with a flaming sword to a place called Jericho. Hallelujah. And when they were all done, I don't know who did the fighting, Brother Charlie, except God. But when they were all done, Jericho laid flat. I'm talking about a God who's never lost a battle he's ever engaged in. That's who we're supposed to remember. The battle we're fighting right now, the demons we're fighting right now, the inward tiredness and frustration we're fighting right now, has already been whooped by God, but many other people before us. Hallelujah. Having too much fun to stop. And fight for your brethren. Oh, hallelujah. He says, after looking up, after going forward, after speaking truth, don't be afraid. Remember God and fight for your brethren and their sons and your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. There, right here, this is it. Remember who the master is. Stand up and fight for what's yours. Can I say that again or do I need to? Whatever is yours, your family, your home, your car, your goods, your sanity, your peace, fight for it. Remember the Lord. Fight for it. Look unto Jesus. Fight for it. The only way I maintain my sanity, whatever I got left, is I have to fight for it. Do you understand? Some of you think I already am. The devil wants me to be nothing but a raving lunatic. Do you maybe y'all don't understand. Some of you do. The battle that goes on inside this pumpkin here. See, some people, they have to fight other battles, brother. Biggest battlefield. Right there. The devil wants me stark, raving, crazy. But if I'm going to be crazy, I want to be crazy for Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 15, I want to show you the result. Almost done, I think. Got no notes here, I can't tell you. Verse 15, after receiving the strategy, after implementing the strategy, That's the word I hear a lot. I've got to implement the intervention. So I'm going to implement this intervention. It came to pass when our enemies heard it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, we returned to the wall, everyone unto his work. Hallelujah. I love a good fight. I love to see someone that needs to get whooped, get whooped. I cheer when I watch television. Before they throw the first swing, someone needs to whoop him. And I enjoy the person who's guilty getting a good whooping. Now, you may think that's bad. I can't help that. I'll deal with that some other time. But there's nothing makes me happier when the devil gets his. When the enemy of my soul, the one who wants my children dead, wants me addicted and or crazy or both, wants my wife to be a widower, that same enemy that hates us, I love it, Brother Dave, when he takes a whooping. I love when the Lord throws a whooping on the devil. Hallelujah to God. Woo, I'll pay to see that. I pay for view. Push the button. Yeah, get that devil. That's what happened when they stood upon the word and strategies of God. God brought the devils there, Sanballat, Tobiah, their counsel to nothing. And we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. And I'm going to stop there. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God, our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Hallelujah. Now, I do understand some things of warfare. I understand that not everyone is qualified to fight against the devil. But we're all qualified to pray. We're all qualified to stand for what's good. We're all qualified to invoke the power of God. I know some people disagree, but I've seen people who aren't trained in spiritual warfare get awfully hurt. Hallelujah. It's a little bit like, you ever watch these guys, these UFC? These guys are crazy. It's like me. I work out once in a while. Once in a while. It's a key word there. It's like me. I beat on the bag sometimes. But if that bag had arms, I'd get whooped a lot. I pick on a heavy bag, they ain't got no hands or feet. But that'd be like me picking a fight with one of those guys in an octagon. Guess what? It ain't going to end up pretty for me. It ain't going to end good at all for me. I really believe wholeheartedly that young Christians, inexperienced Christians, sometimes get hurt when they attack the devil. But we all, someone help me, all can invoke the power of God. We can call on God to fight for us. We can call on how many times do I praise, oh God, release your army. I was in a prayer meeting one time, a long time ago. You were there too. The pastor's wife, during a time of prayer, it was a warfare. She had a little bit of a vision. What she seen was a great circle. And in that circle, there were angels. And whenever a warfare prayer came out of that prayer group, an angel was released to earth. And she shared that. And that has stuck in my mind for a long time. I don't know if that's exactly how it works. But I know that when we seek God, when we pray, when we hold up the things of God and go into warfare that way, the answers are released. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here's what I'm going to ask as we close. I'm going to ask you to go back and read that Nehemiah chapter 4. I just read verses 1 through 15. Hallelujah. I want you to read it in light of what I just said. I want you, if you can, use that God-given imagination. See Sanballat, Tobiah, the Amorites, the Ashdodites, the Amorites. See all them as the demon forces. Our Jerusalem is a place called Honesdale. The walls that have been pulled down are the work and glory of God. The people working are those who call upon the name of Jesus. We're tired. Job is too big, too much to be done. But the strategy of Nehemiah, let me read it. Brother Jeff, could you prepare to play the piano, please? Therefore, man of God, stood up and said, therefore, I said, I in the lower places of the wall. Leadership has got to be involved. And on the higher places, I said, even the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Families, arm yourselves. Pick up the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Shield of faith. Stopping the fiery darts of the enemy. If you don't understand that, go rent a good movie about warfare back in the Middle Ages. Dark Ages. Go back to King Arthur. How about that? Like Kingdom of Heaven. That's a little newer. That's the kind of war Paul was talking about when he wrote about the full armor of God. See, we don't understand fiery darts. We don't get it. Hallelujah. Take some time. You got the pastor's permission. Go before the Super Bowl, rent yourself a movie. Hallelujah. And see how war was fought back in those days. Then you'll understand this terminology better. I looked, I rose up, and I said to the nobles, that's what I'm doing here today. I'm looking. I'm standing up, and I'm declaring it to you. And the rest of the people, be not afraid of them, the enemy. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren. Take back what's yours. I had a man in my life a long time ago by the name of Rex Nichols. Many of you know him or knew him. He's gone now. He took me out to a big old church in Connecticut. One of the first things I ever heard in that church was an old song. And they sang, I can't sing it right because I can't remember the tune. He said, I went down to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. And they sang it with such gusto. And I could just see as they sang it, families who'd lost their children, making a declaration and say, I'm going to go back and take back my children. Families who've lost their self-respect. I could see them singing that song and say, I'm going down to the enemy's camp and I'm taking back my self-respect. I'm taking back my loved one. I'm taking back my dignity. I'm taking it back. For the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And it came to pass, this is what I believe how we're going to see this play out. It came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to nothing, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one to his own work. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. In light of chapter 4, verse 9, everything that I've been preaching to you, I believe this was God speaking to us in a special way today. This is what I'm going to ask for prayer. And I'm just a minute here. Now we're going to shut off the tape in just a second after we pray. I'm going to ask for volunteers. I'm not asking you to pray all day and night. I'm going to ask someone every day, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So I'm going to ask for one person to pray in the morning about what we're talking concerning our church. Then I'm going to ask for a second person to pray at night. It can be the same person. Now, where are you getting that from? Because it's here that they pray day and night. Prayed against them day and night. Day and night. Father, in Jesus' name, you said that absolutely nothing happens that you first don't tell your servants. Father, I've been holding this in my spirit for a long, long time. Thank you for allowing me to release it today. Thank you for the warfare that's been trying to prevent me from releasing it. I pray that this message will be taken as a strategy by those of us who are called to war together, side by side. I pray we will rise up. We will look unto God, not being afraid, and make a stand against the enemy. We will fight for what's ours. Not only our children, but the children of our neighbors. Not only our wives, but the wives out there in the streets who are hurting. Not just our own husbands, but the husbands of everyone out there who's trying to make a living and not doing too well at home. Not just for me because I was addicted, but for those who still are. Not just for us who have already got our healing, but for those who still need it. Not praying for those of us who have already been delivered from the power of the enemy, but from those who are still under the power of the enemy. we would pray against these strategies for the people that we're sitting in the middle of. Father, this church, the church, not just this one, the church of Holmesdale, we have got to reach the lost. It's time for us to quit playing religious games. It's time for us to quit wearing ourselves out running in circles. We need to go on the offensive and attack all that's evil. Father, help us to see when we're running in circles. Help us understand that movement in Christianity is not meant to be secular. It's meant to be straight on. Quit running in circles. Let's move forward. To move forward, we need restoration. We need refreshment. We need to take our faith, put back in Jesus, not just to survive. Father, release us today and deliver us from a survival mentality. God, I'm tired of surviving. I want victory for me, for my city, this church. God, help us quit surviving. God, help us from being in a defensive posture. Help us to go on the offense. Help us fight the good fight of faith, not just for ourselves, for one another, for those around us, our sons, our brethren, our daughters, our wives, our houses. Let the enemy hear. And let us return to work. We need fixed, Lord. We are a broken people. Fix us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's what I'm going to ask.